Good morning. I know you're thinking, oh, we don't usually have to listen to you till later. Well, I just want to give you a little extra today. But no, seriously, Jono and Carlene are both away this weekend, and we all reached out to various options, and we weren't able to be successful. So this morning, we are having Jono lead us, but it's going to be on the screen rather than him standing on the stage. So I'm just welcoming you to the service. I want you to stand with us, sing loud, engage, experience God's presence, and you know, just enjoy the morning as our team does lead us this morning. God bless you.
Come, I want to invite you to stand with us. We're going to praise, worship the Lord together. We're one people, amen, with one voice, singing to one throne, one God. Come on, let's sing together. Unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things.
break every chain, oh God. You have done great. We dance your freedom, awaken the light. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great. Oh hero, oh hero of heaven, you conquered the grave.
Hallelujah, in the middle of the mystery.
Well, good morning and welcome to Evangel today. We're glad that you're here, and if you're joining us via live stream today, we're glad that you're here as well, and you're not noticing probably anything different than usual, but for us in here, it's we're being led by video this morning, and I just want to say thank you to all of those who are working so hard doing different things this morning. Same things, but different things to make this work, so shout out to all of you, and thank you for can we just show them some appreciation? Yeah. You know, I was complaining to God that I was like Elijah. God, I'm the only one left. And then God reminded me, no, you're not the only one. Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that. So, yeah. So thank you for doing all that you do. If this is your first time here, it is a little different this morning, but we are pleased that you're here, and we want to welcome you and just you know, want to encourage you and be sure that you feel welcome and at home, and we want to be able to serve you and come alongside you if we can. And how we do that around here is we ask you to fill out the connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket right in front of you. If you would fill that out and you would leave it at the information desk at the end of the service, there's a small gift there for you. And if you have a prayer request, you can put it on there. We'll be praying for you. If you'd like a follow-up call, indicate that, and we will. And we just want you to know that we are here, and we want to serve you and come alongside you as best we can. We do have a few announcements this morning. The first is next Sunday is our annual business meeting. We've been talking about that. And I just want to let you know that the reports for the annual meeting are at the back on the kiosk next to the information desk. And so you can pick those up in preparation for the annual meeting next Sunday. So they will have the nominees, they will have the financial reports, they will have the ministry reports, everything will be in there, so you can pick those up today. Also today, next Sunday, we will be doing a pizza lunch, and we've been announcing that for a few weeks now, and it is $5 donation-based. If you don't have $5, all we ask you to do is still sign up. We want to be able to be prepared to serve you and feed you, but we need to know that you're coming. So if you are planning to be a part of the pizza lunch next week, I know quite a few of you have already signed up. If you plan to be a part of that, make sure you signed up today, because today is the final day for that so we can put the order in and make sure everything's good for next week. So we'll be doing that right after the service, and then after that will be our annual meeting for those who are members or those who want to stay and be around for that after as well. With Easter just being a couple weeks away, next Sunday is our Palm Sunday, and the week after that is Easter Sunday. And so just to let you know that we will be doing a Good Friday communion service here at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, and we're really excited to share that time together with you. And so if you can be here at all, we just want to invite you to be a part of that. Pastor Scott and Esther are on vacation this week, but asked me to remind youth that Thursday night this week will be a movie night here, and so just keep that in mind. I want to invite, if you're here today and you have children, if they're newborn to age 3, you can take them to the nursery downstairs at any time in the service. You just go through these doors down the stairs, and it's on your left-hand side. You could take your child there and then just pick them up at the end. But if you have children that are age 4 to grade 5 today, we're just going to invite you to slip out around the side here, out through these doors into that foyer area. Your volunteers are going to be there with you, and just make sure that that you just pick your children up at the end of the service today. I want to invite you, to our ushers, to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time. And if you want to give electronically, you can give by sending it to giving@epcoakville.com. That's it. Those are all the announcements. You can remain seated right now until Jono asks you to stand. By faith, I'm believing he will. And we'll continue to worship the Lord this morning. God bless you.
Is your love, so deep is your grace, how rich is your mercy that reach out to save, how great is your name, so faithful and true, how good is your kindness, there's no one. Let this worship Him, let all creation sing, an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. Come, let us lift Him high, let all the nations cry, an anthem of praise. Strong is your mind, how priceless your wisdom, so pure is your love, how high are your thoughts, so perfect your ways, Lord, you are. Sing an anthem of praise. come, let's lift Him high. Let all the nations cry, an anthem of praise, honor and glory to come, let us live. Come, let us worship Him. Let all creation sing an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God. And come, let us lift Him high. Let all the nations cry an anthem of praise, honor. Come, let us worship Him.
Let all creation sing an anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God.
Come, let us live
Him high. Let all the nations cry anthem of praise, honor and glory to our God.
Honor and glory to you, Lord.
You deserve it all.
Honor and glory.
You deserve it all.
You, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my day, and I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness.
Goodness of God. your goodness. Your goodness is running out. It's running out to me. Your goodness is running out. It's running out to me. With my life laid down, surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running out. It's running out.
Each tear.
Father.
And I have a Father. He calls me His own. And He'll never
You're also all present and you are here. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your presence and the presence of Your faithfulness, Lord. Amen.
All right. John 17, 20 to 21. I am praying not only for those for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in Me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as You and I are one. As You are in Me, Father, and I am in You. And may they be in us so that the world will believe You sent Me. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the frustrating things about getting older is the tendency to tell stories that we think we are telling for the very first time. But those around us, they roll their eyes and sigh because we've apparently told it more times than they can count. Such may be the case with the story I'm about to tell you. Now, in fairness, I have been here nearly 19 years, and in looking back through, I can't find record of telling this story to you. So if I did, it's likely been a while, and if it's been recent, then just pretend you've never heard it before. My father was known to be a man of prayer. I have talked about that before. By the people who mattered most to him, his family. And even though most of his 11 children had very little interest in devoting their lives to following Jesus, they knew that their father was fully devoted to Jesus. Most of us in our family have memories of our dad kneeling beside his bed in the morning and again in the evening, crying out to God and often for his family. The symbol of his prayer life quickly became praying hands. Okay, now this is not working, so, oh, there we go. Some of the gifts given to him on Father's Day and birthdays had praying hands on them. After a while, there was quite a collection, a plaque, a Bible bookmark. Even his casket had praying hands insert in the cover and the decorative accessories on the corners. As a young pastor, I would often call home to talk to my dad, and he ended every conversation with the words, "Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray." Now, at first, this seemed insulting to me, right? Because, I mean, I was theologically trained. I could do grace at any meal. I mean, I was good to go. I was a pastor, after all. Why would I need to be reminded of something so basic as to pray? Well, somehow he had lived long enough to understand that pastors are people too, that I have that on good authority, who share the same struggles as everyone else. And so he would remind me to make sure that stayed in front of me. A year after he passed away, I became a senior pastor for the first time. I was excited for the new challenge and the new opportunity that was before me. And prior to starting this new role, as a family, we headed out on vacation. We were a family of four at that time, and we had a great time away. We were having so much fun and not thinking about, you know, the future. We're just in the moment, and until we were flying back home. And it was on that flight that the burden of what I was about to take on came crashing down on me. I felt crushed by the weight of it. There had always been a desk down the hall that I could place the biggest problems on. And now that desk was mine. It was mine. The airplane had two rows of two seats. Jennifer was on one side with Emily. I was on the other side with Elizabeth. Jennifer was always and still is great at preparing for trips, especially with the kids, making sure they had everything they needed to keep them busy and engaged. Because we're 100 years old, we didn't have iPads and phones we could just toss at them and they could be glued to for hours. Elizabeth had her little chair table down and was busy with stickers and crayons, creating her masterpiece. So I closed my eyes and quietly, internally began to vent my fears to God. I said, "God, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm too inexperienced to lead these people. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now that it's right here, I don't think I can do this. God, what am I going to do?" And I'm praying this quietly in my head, and I'm venting to God, and I'm so afraid. And then suddenly I felt the, you know, tapping on my arm. Elizabeth had finished her masterpiece and wanted to give it to me as a gift. And as I looked at her artwork, I saw this sheet of white paper that was covered in this abundance of praying hand stickers. And scribbled in blue crayon were the words, "Don't forget to pray." I will say to this day that she has taught me more about God than 6-7 years of theological education. God had answered my prayer through my daughter's art and reminded me of the importance of prayer. Today we're going to conclude our Before I Go sermon series. Jared, I'm going to leave this to you. You're in charge. Based on the farewell discourse of Jesus found in John 14-17. In this final message, we will focus on Jesus' prayer for his present and future followers. And we will be reminded today that sometimes the prayers we pray in the present have impact in the future long after we are gone. Sometimes the prayers we pray in the present have impact in the future long after we are gone. So let's consider the focus of Jesus' prayer. The first is future protection. Jesus has made it clear that he's leaving. We've been talking about that for a number of weeks now. He's going back to the Father, and he has addressed the anxiety and the fear that his disciples are experiencing as a result of this announcement that he's made. In looking to the future, to the other side of the cross, Jesus foresees a continuing
growing community of believers. He sees this thing getting bigger and growing, made up not only of these present followers that he's been spending this evening with, but also all those who will come to believe in the future because of the witness of these present followers. As they continue on with the mission that he has begun, empowered by the same Spirit that empowered him. Jesus came to share the truth about God, and they received his words. They believe with certainty that Jesus came from God, that God sent him. And as a result, because of Jesus, our scripture says they now belong to God. They're not mature yet. They haven't arrived yet. They're not all that they're going to be or will be, but they are faithful and they are obedient. The world, and we said the world in John, is those who have not yet experienced the love of God and do not acknowledge Jesus as Savior. Jesus says, well, the world will hate his followers in the future because of their faithfulness and their obedience to him. And so while Jesus is with them, he can protect them. He has protected them. But now he's leaving and he will no longer physically be there with them. So Jesus' prayer is not that God would take them out of the world to avoid this pending opposition that he knows is coming, but instead for God to protect them from the evil one, from the various dark forces that would seek to harm them when he is no longer there physically with them. They are not of the world. They do not align with the world's values and beliefs, but they will remain in the world and carry out his mission under the threat of danger. And so Jesus could see the future unfolding. He could see the mission being carried out beyond the cross, and he's praying that those who put their trust in him in the future would go forward under God's protection. Those of us who are followers of Jesus who are gathered in this room today, and those of you who are joining us via the live stream today, we are all the focus of Jesus' prayer here in John 17. We are who we are today. We are here in this place today because he has protected every generation and empowered us to keep the mission at the center all of these years. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He has protected us, and he continues to protect us as we faithfully pursue his mission, as he continues to build his church. And so like the Apostle Paul, we can say, yes, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Let's not forget, as we think about God's protection in leading us to this moment, those who have gone before us, those who have sacrificed, those who have faced opposition and endured just as we have in different contexts and cultures, those who have carried on the mission with faith and trust, those who, like Jesus, prayed for us, who too were protected from the harm of the evil one through every generation, as Jesus prayed, it would happen. Future prayer. Future protection. Secondly, future unity. You'll note that Jesus prays for unity if you see the whole section, which is most of chapter 17. He prays for unity four times. Four times. In verse 11, he prays, so that they, and he's talking about his followers, may be one as we, he and the Father, are one. And then in verse 21, he says, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And then in verse 22, he prays the same thing as he prayed in verse 11. He says that they may be one as we are one. And then in verse 23, he prays, may they be brought to complete unity. Jesus is communicating some important truths about unity here. Not only the importance of it, but some important truths about it. The basis of unity among believers, among you and I, and all of us, those who've come before us, the basis of unity is the unity between the Father and the Son. You will notice Jesus prayed, as we are one, just as you are in me and I am in you. He is giving examples, illustration of the kind of unity he's praying for. He's referring to his relationship with the Father. The unity that exists, the perfect and complete unity that exists within the Trinity. That is the standard. That is the model. That is the example of true unity. Now, it's important to note that unity is not sameness. There is diversity in the Trinity. Three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are not the same, yet they are one. The word that references unity all through the four times here, the same word keeps showing up. And in the Greek, it's a simple, simple word that's three letters. It just means one. One. The word that Jesus references in his prayer over and over and over again is one. Jesus has made us one with God. And unity comes from the Father through Jesus by way of the Spirit's work within us. The Trinity at work within us. Unity with one another is only possible when we have unity with God. It is our unity with God, our true oneness with God, that creates unity with each other. We can't create that type of unity. Unity is a miraculous gift from God. As I look out over this audience this morning, you are a miracle. Don't listen to what your wife says about you or your husband. You are, you know, or your parents, especially your kids. You are a miracle. This is a miracle. What we're seeing in front of us is a miracle. It's a gift from God. Only God can do that. And so we can't create it, but we can break it. We can destroy it. And that's why in Ephesians 4:3, Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus' desire and expectation for us is that we be one. One with God and one with each other, living in unity. And being one is only possible when we are one with him. In fact, I would suggest that disunity is a lack of oneness. It takes place when we're no longer one with God. If you see a break in unity among us, there's probably someone in that relationship that has broke unity with God. Now, being one doesn't mean we're all the same. It doesn't mean we're all the same. It just means that we're all in relationship with him. There are a variety of beliefs held amongst followers of Jesus. Now, some people have high levels of discomfort with this. Personally, I'm okay with it because I think I have it on good authority that God is. There are a variety of beliefs held amongst followers of Jesus. We all don't believe exactly the same things. We just don't. There's a variety of opinions on different issues held amongst followers of Jesus. In this room alone, if you were to name a topic, there might be five different opinions on that topic. We hold different opinions. There's differences in how to read the Bible on certain matters. Different people read different passages and come to different conclusions. That is a reality within the body of Christ. Yet we are still one because Jesus has made us one through the cross. What makes us one is not that we are the same. It is that we are all in Christ. And he has brought us together from different cultures and backgrounds and education levels and experiences and has somehow miraculously made us one. God has made that miracle. And we must do everything we can. We must make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, just as the Apostle Paul implores us to. Folks, our world at present, and I don't have to tell you this, is very polarized. Governments are polarized. The church is polarized, emphasizing our differences of belief and the differences of opinion. And it's tearing us apart. It's tearing us apart. But what really matters is that we have been made one in Christ. That's what really matters. I've had the opportunity over the years to be involved in various levels of global missions throughout my life. And the first thing I've noticed, and I have noticed it every single time and observed, is this, that in foreign places, denominational lines mean much less than they do at home. They mean much less than they do at home. In fact, at first, it's a little shocking. Jesus desires complete unity, which means to progress in unity, to carry it through until completion. It's a process in our lives of creating that level of unity. I don't have to agree with you to love you. We maybe should have heard this sermon during COVID. I don't have to agree with you to love you. I don't have to agree with you to value you. I don't have to agree with you to be one with you. I am one with you because I am one with Christ. And thirdly, future witness. A continuing community of believers in the future is contingent on witness about Jesus. And so for that reason, Jesus prays for the future witness of his followers. Now, interestingly, Jesus connects witness to unity. So we're not quite done with unity yet. He says, may they be brought to complete unity. We looked at that. Why? Why does he pray that? Why is he asking God to do that? He says, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Impacting witness, effective witness, is connected to the unity of believers with Jesus and one another. Jesus himself said at the very beginning of all this that we were talking about in chapter 13 of John, verse 35, he says, all people will know that you are my disciples. How? Because you've done the course? That you can communicate it with nice graphics and design? Or slide a piece of paper or draw a diagram? No. He said, they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus himself said that. Jesus is revealed to the world through the love and unity of his followers. Jesus prays for their message. It's a message about him. But he knows that the message will only be effective through love and unity. And it's the Holy Spirit that will create that loving unity. Jesus prays that the Father would sanctify his followers. Sanctify means to set apart for service. Jesus, it says, sanctified himself. He set himself willingly aside to serve God and to die. And now his followers will be set apart to serve God as well. Jesus prayed, as you sent me, I have sent you. I now, as the Father has sent me into the world, I have sent them. Jesus had a mission, and his followers will have the same mission. Jesus was set apart to die, and his followers will be set apart to bring the good news of life that flows from his death. Folks, each of us who are followers of Jesus, we've been set apart to serve God. Regardless of what others think of you, regardless of moments of what you think of yourself, If you have come to Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have been set apart to serve God, to bear witness to this world about Jesus. And it is the Holy Spirit that will help us bear witness about Jesus. And the impact and the success of our witness is not only in the message of our words, but in the message of our lives, in the message of our love for one another, in the message of our unity with God and our unity with each other. All of these things are communicating the message. And Jesus has made it very clear that it's how we love one another that impacts the effectiveness of our witness the most. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on methodologies and programs. It's really hard for churches to let programs and methodologies go because somehow they become almost important as our doctrinal beliefs over time. Witness methodologies will change from generation to generation. The early church witness took place in Jewish synagogues, trying to convince Jews that Jesus was their Messiah. That was the main early focus, and later moving towards the Gentiles. We see all throughout history different things. Another example would be in the 1800s in England. Children of wealthy parents were either educated at home with a tutor because the parents could afford it, or they were allowed to go to certain schools because they had the wealth to pay for it. This type of education was beyond the reach of the poor children. They had no opportunity for any real education. Children of poor families worked alongside their parents. They worked in factories and workhouses, and they worked on farms. They worked 6 days a week, at least 13 hours a day, Sunday being their only day off each week. And what happened as a result of this? How did the church respond with witness? Well, it was the birth and inspired the Sunday school movement. Because these children were just roaming the streets on Sundays with no purpose, with no opportunities. And so the Sunday school was created. Why was it created? What was the focus? It was to teach these children how to read and write so they could have a hope for the future. And alongside all of that, they incorporated some religious instruction as they were meeting this need. Well, later when legislation was passed ensuring education for all children, when that happened, all of a sudden the Sunday school movement, the purpose for which it was originally created, is no longer needed. And so there became this shift, more like what we know today. And all of a sudden there's been this understanding in our culture, in other churches, not this one, that it's the church's job to raise up your children in the area of spiritual things. It isn't. It isn't. It's the parents' responsibility, and the church is here to support it. But Sunday school has become the place that we drop our kids so that the church can take care of doing what God has given us as parents as a responsibility to do. But my point is this. Something was created because there was a need, and then when the need changed, the focus changed. Because this is what happens. And if we look all throughout history, followers of Jesus have responded to their times with creative ways and effective witness. When churches in the early days gave away free Bibles on the corner because that was something that was acceptable to do at the time, the value of those Bibles would have been equivalent to giving away a cell phone in the day that we live in today. Because at that time, it was effective witness. And even if we look through the history of our church, there are things that we've focused on through our 60 years or so that have changed. Why? Because culture changes and our response changes. In our time, we continue to creatively seek means to be an effective witness of Jesus. But regardless of the time and the methodologies, whether it was the early church or the 1800s or 50 years ago, what has stayed the same, what has not changed throughout history, is oneness with God through Jesus and oneness with each other, just as Jesus prayed. methods and programs, they will come and go. But our relationship with Jesus and our relationships with one another remain at the forefront of being effective witnesses. A little over a year ago, I got to watch the live stream video of two of my brothers being baptized in water. It was really exciting, I gotta say. A few months later, I was actually visiting my hometown, and I made a specific effort to be there on the Sunday because I wanted to go to church with them. Because other than family funerals, we'd never done that before. We had never done that. And so the pastor found out we were coming. Pastors are weird that way. It's like they hear from God or others or something. And he asked if he could bring three of us up on the stage and interview us as part of the service. And I said, well, you know what? If the other two are okay with it, you know, I'm fine. And so they were okay. And so there we were on this Sunday morning. And the pastor was, you know, it was an opportunity for him not to have to prepare a full sermon. I'm sure that's not why he did it. But we were being interviewed. We were at a sermon that morning. And much of the focus, and rightfully so, was on the life change, the incredible life change that both of my brothers had encountered. Because, you know, you just got to know the family history, right? And to see that they had come to faith, it was just nothing short of a miracle. And so a lot of it was based on talking about that decision to follow Jesus. And then one point in the interview, the pastor asked me to share my thoughts about my two brothers coming to faith. And I tell you, I couldn't help but connect the moment back to my dad. I couldn't help. Specifically, all the times that he knelt by his bed praying that his children would choose to follow Jesus. All the times he knelt or stood at the altar of that very thing, I could, in my mind, as I'm sitting on the stool on the stage, I could see him there. I could see him, either standing or kneeling in my memories, praying for his children, crying out to God that his children would experience the life change of what it means to know and follow Jesus. All I could think about was the impact of his many years of praying and how those prayers, the impact it had on this moment. And I thought, oh, I wish he could be here. I wish he could be here right now to see this for himself. I wish he could. But in that moment, I was reminded that sometimes our prayers are answered long after we're gone. Sometimes our prayers are answered long after we're gone. And so as we have considered Jesus' final prayer, a prayer that so long ago prayed for future protection, a prayer for future unity, a prayer for future effective witness, we're reminded this morning, all of this time later, that the prayers we pray in the present have impact in the future, sometimes long after we're gone. So that encourages us to keep praying and not be discouraged and to have hope. I'm going to invite you to stand with us this morning. And as Jono, in a moment, will lead us in our final song, maybe you're here today and you have carried an incredible burden for something or someone or someones, for your family, for so long. And it all just seems so pointless. It all just seems like, you know, God, I don't know, I don't even know why I do this, because it doesn't seem to be making any difference. You can never underestimate the impact of praying about future things, because God continues to work long after we are no longer in the process. We're no longer here. So as we sing this final song this morning, why don't you lift up to him again this morning? Maybe something that you've laid down and given up on, and say, God, I'm picking this up again, and I'm leaving it with you, and I'm looking to you. Let's sing together this morning.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We fall down, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
At your feet this morning. We lay the burdens of our heart at your feet this morning. We leave those that we love and are concerned for and the needs that we have at your feet this morning. And thank you in the greatness of your mercy and love. We can come and are invited to do that. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would help us to remain one with you and one with each other. As we move forward, God, to be effective witnesses to this world that desperately needs the love of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the strength and change that only Jesus can bring. Lord, for those who stand in this place this morning and maybe for many years have carried the burden of those that they love the dearest and closest, not knowing you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we all understand the frustration, the disappointment, and disillusionment that sometimes comes when we don't see what we're asking for as quickly as we want to see. And somehow we determine that perhaps what we're doing is just a waste of time. But Lord, I pray that we would learn to trust you. As you have shown us in your final prayer here, praying not for that moment, but looking to the future, that we would believe that, Lord God, we have entrusted our lives to you. We've entrusted our families to you. They are in good hands. And we ask you to do in their lives what only you can do. And Lord, even if we don't get to see it, we pray that it will come to pass. And Father, this morning, for those who are sick, for those who have cancer, for those who are struggling, for those who are trying to recover from surgeries, for those who are discouraged and depressed, for those who may be struggling financially today, Lord, I just pray for your peace. We pray for your peace in our broken and hurting world. We pray, Lord God, for you to come and bring peace to this world. We pray, Lord, that wars would cease, that life would be celebrated, and that Jesus would be glorified. And so, Lord, we ask you today to heal our broken, polarized world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Happy St. Patrick's Day. If you lived in Newfoundland, you'd have tomorrow off. It's a holiday. Newfoundlanders know how to do holidays. Yeah.